Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Welcome to the first episode of season 3 of the Nano Bookcast, a very small podcast all about books. Since I abandoned you all in 2022, this season will be longer, hopefully 20 episodes long very specifically, and have more books in it. Yay for all of us. So let's get started with the classic. It may be March, but I still want to think that I am in 2022, which means we get to talk about books that I read in 2022. And let's get started because we've got a lot of books to go through. We'll start off with poetry, in fact. I started 2022 off with a poetry anthology, in fact. This is Amanda Gorman's first anthology to be published, and it's called Call Us What We Carry. For those of you who don't know her, Amanda Gorman is the youngest youth poet laureate in the US. She also recited her poem, The Hills We Climb, at Joe Biden's inauguration. Her poems do such a great job of engaging the reader by changing up the medium in which her poems are expressed. From using an army vet's letters to create poetry from, to writing a poem about the isolation brought about due to COVID in the actual shape of a face mask. It's definitely worth a read due to just the diverse topics she touches on and the way she really engages the reader by changing the visual medium. I would specifically recommend getting it either in like the physical book version or in a way that you actually get to see the text as Amanda Gorman wanted it laid out. And since that's the only poetry or poetry anthology I read, we'll go off to fiction, and which is basically my absolute favorite category. And you start off with some really powerful Desi women. First is Dating Dr. Dil by Nisha Sharma. Sorry. I received this book before its release via NetGalley, and I devoured this book instantaneously. Having just returned back from New Jersey, it filled me with great delight to actually see New Jersey references in this book. It's also my way of continuing to indulge in romance books, but with more representation. I'm tired of just seeing people run off to Spain, but to see brown people in romance books and two brown people in romance books is such an absolute delight. It's a story of two stubborn brown people falling in love. It's the fake marriage, but then they fall in love trope. What more could you possibly want? A Desi twist, and it's exactly what this book has. Nosy aunties, lehengas, all the wedding food. I also think that I want to cosplay as Karina Mann for Halloween, so that might be a great TikTok idea. In fact, kind of looking forward into 2023, I've read Nisha Sharma's new book, Tastes Like Shakar, also on NetGalley, and the woman is such a phenomenal writer. Oh my God, please, please, please go read Dating Dr. Dil and then buy Tastes Like Shakar when it comes out. Next up is Are You Enjoying by Meera Sethi. This is a debut collection of short stories by Meera Sethi and shows a variety of protagonists who are struggling with what one would call a turning moment in their life. It could be falling in love with someone forbidden, or having to grow up very quickly, or hiding one's sexuality. It depicts the reality of growing up in modern Pakistan and trying to make an identity for oneself, while still fighting the pressures of society and the pressures of a very conservative society. I think it's a great read for Pakistanis both in Pakistan as well as abroad. And her writing is so beautiful. It's poignant. It's very crisp. And you are able to imagine yourself in the shoes of the protagonist that she talks about, which is really hard to do in short stories because you're skipping from story to story. But I think Meera Sethi does it so well. I also got early access to the preview of Best of Friends by Kamla Shamsi, thanks to Riverhead Books, and I was immediately transported to memories of attending high school right alongside the protagonist. Kamla Shamsi is also from Pakistan, and the references she uses are just very easy for people from Karachi to recognize, to empathize with. And for me specifically, maybe it's a little bit easier because I went to the same high school as Kamla Shamsi, who's the author. The story is one of two friends who are the opposites of each other, but they're still the best of friends. It speaks of their differences and how it's both the bedrock of their friendship, but also how it tests the strength of their relationship over time. The best part of this book is definitely seeing how the protagonists viewed each other. And so you get to learn about Maryam, for example, through Zara's eyes, and then you get to learn about Zara through Maryam's eyes, as opposed to just seeing how they view the other, which is such an interesting way of kind of learning about protagonists in a book, not through their own eyes, but through their best friend's eyes. It definitely made me confront the idea that an outward personality that we create for ourselves is not always the way we perceive ourselves, or in fact, the way we want ourselves to be perceived. And so thinking about the intentionality of this outward personality that you show to the world is definitely something I took away from this book. Next up on the list is Remote Control by Inedi Okorofor, which is a book I got recommended by a friend. And I was initially attracted to the book because of its cover. It's a story about a young girl, Sankofa, whose original name is Fatima, who's known as the adopted daughter of death. You can see where this book is going. We learn about how she gains this really tragic power and the burden that comes with that. And her power is that she can take someone's life and euthanize them if they're close to death. So think of a terminal patient and how she can provide them relief and give them a merciful death. You empathize with the isolation that comes with such power, and you can't help but empathize with the girl who can't explain where her power comes from, but still owns it and makes it her own. She takes control of it, and she doesn't let her power take control of her, but the other way around. It's such a beautifully written book, and I would definitely recommend it to all in 2023. I have not read any science fiction in a while, and I was reminded of that by Remote Control. And Ursula Le Guin will always be my go-to for science fiction, period. And so I picked up The Word for World is Forest, and it's an absolutely beautiful book that puts us in an alien space colonized by Earth for supplies, and how the colonizers, once again, ravage not only the land, but also the indigenous people of the planet for their own pleasure and gain. This is a story we're all familiar with. We've seen countries ransack other countries for things like spices, for property, or just for pure expansion because they ran out of space on their own land. And it's a story we're all familiar with. It's a story we've seen play out over thousands and millions of years that man has walked this planet. The great thing about Ursula Le Guin's work is there's no mincing of words here. And she forces you to confront your humanity and our inability, in fact, as a species to respect the land we are on or the people around us. And this book really makes you think about the fact we've got one planet, we've ransacked it, we don't treat each other or the native people of the land we occupy with any respect at all. And really what comes to be when you show both disrespect to the land you're on as well as the people around you. It's really something that forces you to think. It's one of the books I ended the year with, and it's definitely something that's left me feeling thoughtful, for sure. 2022, switching onto a lighter note, was also my Taylor Jenkins Reid era, and I hope 2023 also continues being my Taylor Jenkins Reid era. I started off with The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, and all I can say is, I want to watch the movie. I want to bang my hand against a table as I make this point, but that will not sound good to all of you. And that's it. I just want to watch this movie. I can't wait to see this retelling of like a Hollywood starlet and her life come to life on either the silver screen or in a movie. I don't care. Actually, I want this to be a mini series that shows Evelyn and Celia through the years. And I want to see different actresses play the protagonists over the years, just like The Crown does. I think it would be so, so, so good. Please, please, don't let this be a movie adaption now that I think about it. Please let it be a TV limited series adaption. Oh, please, Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, Amazon Prime, one of you, get on it. The second book that I loved reading was One True Loves, and I couldn't recommend it enough as like a holiday read. But this is also my reaction to any Taylor Jenkins Reid book. Take it on a holiday, you'll have like the absolute thrill of a time. It's a story about falling in love again when you have changed yourself only to find your past self beckoning to you as well. I think it's a great story of self-growth, of learning. Definitely one to pick up if you want to sit on your couch with some hot chocolate and just cry. I think we all need a good cry every so often. So I think it's a great book for that for sure. Now, I also saw the ad for the TV adaptation of Daisy Jones and the Six, and it's already out in March 2023, and I realized that I hadn't read the book back then. While this isn't my favorite book written by Taylor Jenkins Reid, I'm not a rock and roll fan or a fan of the 70s music scene. I am always in awe of Taylor Jenkins Reid's ability to create a world and to really make you feel like you're living in the world, you're part of the world, and I appreciate very specifically the nod to other books like Malibu Rising in this book. And so if you've read Malibu Rising, you'll see a few familiar faces here. And I think that's so, so, so amazing. And you can end fiction, now that I've talked about a whole lot of romance, with yet another romance book. And my absolute favorite book from 2022. It was Book Lovers by Emily Henry. I also started reading it the day I came out. It came out with my cousin, and it was such a sweet experience reading a book and discussing it simultaneously and hearing someone else react to a book you love. So I'd hear her be like, gasp, or like I would gasp or something like that. And I think it's such a sweet experience, and I hope we get to relive this as other Emily Henry books come out, because I think it's such a bonding experience. I think Book Lovers is Emily Henry's best enemies to lovers book yet. I want to reread this book repeatedly, and I love every character completely. You can't help but root for Nora and Gus from just day one. And I won't say much about the book other than hubba hubba, though I have a bone to pick with Libby, the sister, for sure. She doesn't have any empathy for Nora's position as an elder sister and just sees her own view of the world. And as an elder sister, that really, really annoys me. Or even as an elder sibling, it really annoys me. But that's that on this book. Go read it. And Emily Henry has a new book coming out this year called Happy Place, also in April. Go read that too when it comes out. Now we'll switch to nonfiction, one I definitely read less of, but there are some good ones there too. Now the first nonfiction book I want to talk about is Attached by Amir Levine and Rachel Heller. I had recommended this book when talking about personality types and when I was discussing love languages. And the book talks about the different attachment styles that people have in relationships and what needs they have from a relationship as a result of that attachment style. It further talks about the fractures that rise in a relationship when people with mismatched styles are in one. And the interesting point that I want to dig into more often is how people's attachment styles can change or how long it can take for that to happen. The book claims that it takes a while for people's attachment styles to change. However, I think that a traumatic relationship can cause this change to happen over a very short period of time. And that's definitely something I was thinking about when I read this book back in, like, I think February or March of 2022, and even something I think about now. You know, as your friendships grow, as your relationships change, you definitely do change your attachment style as well. And especially if you've gone through something loving or something traumatic, it can definitely change. And I think that's definitely something I've been thinking about. Enough of a ramble. The next book that I read was The Ride of a Lifetime by Bob Iger. And it's the first time I've genuinely felt compassion, and I felt like I was nodding along with a tech CEO's memoir, which is saying a lot. I don't usually nod along or like have empathy for a tech CEO. Bob Iger expanded Disney's influence by taking on some really daring projects and trusting his gut while uplifting and trusting his employees. And I think the stories in his book just really show him to be such a great leader. And then you read of instances where other employees have spoken about him, and you really see that, yes, it's not just him, you know, just praising himself, but it's actually the person he is. His book, his ability to meet people where they are by understanding like their base needs, and his actions in the press might make him my favorite tech CEO. I'm not sure. He's also now back as Disney's interim CEO, so we'll save judgment for that. Since I read the Disney book, I then wanted to pick up the book about Pixar. I've been a longtime admirer, as have many other people, of Pixar movies, and they're the childhood movies I still recommend to this day. Books like movies like Toy Story, for example. They're charming, moving, full of humor, and most importantly, they don't beat about the bush when it comes to sensitive topics. This is why I was intrigued by Creativity Inc. by Amy Wallace and Edwin Catmull. It also provided the other side view on Pixar's acquisition by Disney, which I just read about in book Bob Iger's book. So I got the other side of things. The book actually goes into great detail about the systems that Edwin Catmull and team had set up at Pixar to create the movies that Pixar is known for, and like the processes and the systems for both feedback as well as how they created their culture. And you also got to see a behind the scenes kind of take on how a lot of these movies iterated. So how Toy Story, for example, changed, or It's a Bug's Life, and the successes and the failures and what the Pixar team learned from them. It's definitely a book I would recommend every Pixar buff to go actually read. Now, while we're on the topic of tech CEOs, I also read Startup of You by Reid Hoffman. And I wish I'd read the book when I was starting my professional career. As it stands, I'm definitely adding it to my list of books to gift to new grads. So this joins I Will Teach You How to Be Rich as well as this book, I think make for a great like graduation present if your new grad likes reading. I want to create like a workbook that goes along with the book that I can keep on my shelves forever. So maybe that's a project I'll pick up, because you can take like the action items from the book and create a workbook out of it so that you can refer to it without having to refer to the full book. It's a great book for people who have vague goals that they struggle to articulate and as a result don't know how to achieve. And it really helps them confront those ideas, confront those goals, and really take them to clarity. So I really like that book for that. Now, the last book I want to talk about is one I picked up right at the end of the year. I came across The Emergency by Thomas Fisher on a social media channel and immediately borrowed it from Libby. Thomas Fisher is an emergency doctor at University of Chicago's hospital based in the South Side. This book is his story of working in an emergency department in a predominantly Black neighborhood during COVID-19. I really wanted to read more about not just the actual medical and the epidemic effect of COVID, but also how doctors were handling it. So I'm hoping there are more doctors who write about their experience like working in emergency departments, and which is why I really love this book. This book stretches as far as only stretches as far as 2020. So it's still pre-vaccines. So you get a glimpse into hospitals having to rapidly adjust and create systems where there were none, like how to actually create new rooms in the emergency department or new processes on how doctors can come in, scrub up before they go see patients. The bit that sells it for me is the letters he writes to his patients and us, explaining how the broken healthcare system affects them personally. So when he can't speak to his patients and really explain to them why they're suffering, he writes a letter to kind of explain the historical context. And I think it really helped me learn a lot about the very mismanaged healthcare system. And I felt very appreciative for those lessons. And on that note of learning, episode one comes to an end. For show notes and links to the books I mentioned in this episode, you can go to nana.app/season3-1. I'm really excited to get your feedback since I haven't been on this podcast for about 8 months. So whether it be positive feedback, negative, constructive, on how I can improve, do you think I spoke too fast? I think I did. Did you not enjoy today's episode at all? Is there something you want to hear my opinion on? Is there a friend you think I should bring on so I can talk books with them? You can reach out to me personally or via podcast@nana.app. I'll see you later. I hope you're staying safe, and I hope 2023 is being great to you. Bye.